Evening. It was the first day in a long time I had mom's roast beef and mashed potatoes, or baked or potatoes, and it was everything I remembered, so it's been a good day. Tonight I'd like to discuss a topic that I think is fairly important for our Christian walk, and the majority of us seem to not have a problem with this, and others, we have to learn things the hard way. On June 13, 1978, I was born in the United States of America, obviously. And since I was born on American soil, I, under the laws of this land, I became a citizen of this nation. As a citizen of this nation, I have all the rights and I have all the privileges granted to me under this authority. And in conjunction with these rights, I also became subject to its laws and the consequences of breaking those laws. That pretty sure we're all familiar with the laws of the country that we have, the freedoms that we have, the freedom of speech, freedom of press, expression, religion, and just about anything you want to do, you can probably find some loophole or some way to get around it in the Constitution and make it legal. But there are some things that you can't get around in this country. For instance, if I was to go out and kill someone, I would more than likely be caught and sentenced to put to death or life in prison. If I was to steal a car, I would most likely spend some time in jail. If I was to break the speed limit laws of this country, I would be issued a ticket and I would have to pay a pretty good fine. Like I said, some of us have to learn the hard way. But these laws are in place for our protection and to keep us safe from ourselves and from other people. That is what they are there for. And I was glad Adam asked me what I wanted read, and I asked him to read Romans chapter 13, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there, and if you'd like to, go ahead and turn there. In the first verse there, it says that we are commanded to be the subject under the authority in which we live under, and this doesn't extend to the nation that we were born into or a citizen of. If I was to visit England, I would be subject to the laws there while I was in that country. There's no exception. Whatever authority I am under, that is what I need to be abiding. I need to abide by those laws. It also says that there is no authority except that which is from God, and those that are existing at this present time were established by God, and this has been the way it has since the beginning of time. But what does the world think about someone who is constantly disobeying the law or is constantly in trouble with the law? You generally don't have much respect for those people. And we're supposed to be setting an example to others about how to live a life free of sin and uprightness and righteousness. And it's hard to do that when you lose the respect of those around you when you are disobeying or breaking such laws. But above this, the same verse says, like I said, that there is no authority except that which is from God. Verse 2, and those who disobey the laws of men are disobeying a direct law or ordinance from God. God expects us to follow the laws of man, just as we're to follow His laws. His authorities were established by Him, therefore, the authorities and the laws here on earth are laws from God. There's no distinction. It also says there in verse 2 that by disobeying these laws, we are bringing judgment upon ourselves. I don't think I need to explain myself even further on that. Verse 3. Paul asks the question, do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? And he gives the answer, do what is good or obey the law, and you will have praise from the same. I couldn't help but laugh when I was thinking about this because last week I noticed, I don't know how many days I had gone without missing a headlight, but I was getting kind of curious of why I couldn't see. But so I finally checked and there I was without a headlight. And under the laws of this land, you are supposed to have two operating headlights, at least. So for a couple of mornings, I drove in fear that I would get pulled over and have to pay yet another fine to the city of Lee Summit. So basically what he's saying here is obey the law and you'll live without fear, which is true. Verses 4 through 7, these are the verses that tell us the authorities that we live under, which are from God, are there to serve God. The word there that is used in Yeah, it's used in the New American Standard and in the New King James as the word minister, which is also the same word for servant, and that is the word deaconos. We spent a lot of time dealing with that this winter study. So the authorities here are there to serve God. The authorities existing on earth today are here to serve Him. And we're not too unfamiliar with this, with the captivities, Babylon. God had used Nebuchadnezzar and to exact His wrath upon the children of Israel. In verse 4 at the end of there, it says, "An avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil." And I just can't help but think about what our nation has been involved in the last couple of years. But verse 5, I think, sums up this thought the best about being subject under the laws of man. "Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." It's so much easier to live a life of righteousness when your conscience is free, obviously, when it's free and clear. It's a lot easier to live. In this day and age, we don't necessarily call the governments that we live under kingdoms, but that is exactly what they are. They are kingdoms, even though they don't have a king. We have presidents, prime ministers, or a legislature, or a Congress. And the Bible tells us that these kingdoms will come and go. In Daniel chapter 2, I think this is the best example of that. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he's disturbed by this dream, and he wants this dream interpreted. So all the soothsayers and the magicians and the fortune tellers and the witches and whoever comes out to interpret this dream for him, and none of them are going to do it, so Nebuchadnezzar is going to have them all executed. So God sends a vision to Daniel, and this is the interpretation of the dream. Daniel then goes to the king and says, "Don't slaughter these guys yet, because I have your answer." And the dream describes that the kingdoms of men, that he describes a couple of them there, and there's a couple different ideas on who they were. It could have been the Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Medo-Persians. In my opinion, you could place Kingdom A and Kingdom B in there, and it's all going to be the same. But these kingdoms will be great, and they will have power, and they will rule over a lot of men. But in the end, they will fall. Everybody has a timeline. But then it says that God will establish a kingdom that will reign forever. It will last forever. And in my mind, the kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of is the kingdom of God. Or another way of saying this is the sphere in which God rules, which translates to us as three different places. Number one, the church. Number two, heaven. And number three, the heart. Every kingdom needs to have a king or a ruling body. And God gave this authority to Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, when he said, "All authority has been given unto me on heaven and on earth." Jesus is our king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as Revelations described him. So many people put their faith and their trust in the kings of men and earth, and I just wonder why these imperfect men who rule these imperfect kingdoms of men. But the King of God's kingdom is perfect. He is sinless, and he is wise, and he is just. He is also a conqueror. I don't think you could have a kingdom unless you had conquered something, and the King of God's kingdom has conquered sin, and he has conquered death. Earlier, I mentioned that I was born in the USA, and therefore I was a citizen of the United States. And on January 31st, 1993, I'll never forget that date. Not only was it the day I was baptized, but it was the day that the Buffalo Bills played the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And that was a good day, too. I had all of my friends over there. We watched it together. But that was the day I became part of the kingdom of God. And you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God unless you are born into Christ, unless you are born into his kingdom. And I'm going to let, if you're taking notes, I'm going to throw off a series of verses here that says this. Acts 2:47, Matthew 7:21, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21. John 12:48, Ephesians 5:17, Mark 7:7, Matthew 28:20, Ephesians 1:22, Acts 14:23, Acts 20:28, and Colossians 2:8. These all simply say that you must be born again. You must be born into the kingdom through baptism. And only the saved are allowed in the Lord's kingdom. And Paul said in the Philippian letter, chapter 3, verse 17, that we are citizens of heaven if we are born into that. First, we are citizens of heaven. Second, we are citizens of the earthly kingdoms. And just like the kingdoms of earth have laws that we must follow, so also does the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments. And of course, the greatest of these commandments is love, John 15:12. Let's go ahead and turn there and read that. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. John 15:12. Also, I believe, is one of God's laws to us is that we should always give God our best, no matter what it is, no matter what part of our life we are dealing with. Romans 12:1 was mentioned this morning in our class, that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, giving God our best in everything that we do. Matthew 22, verse 37, also a similar thought there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Everything that is a part of our nature, everything that is a part of our very being has to be presented to God as best as we can. We have to put forth our best effort. And Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. These are just a couple of basic things I threw out. Loving our neighbor, giving God our best, and worshiping God only. Those are very important aspects of our Christian walk, and we should always be mindful of. This is going to be our memory verse for the week. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I couldn't have put it in any better words than the way Jesus put it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above all else, this is what we should do. And by obeying this simple commandment of seeking the kingdom of God first, it'll make it easier. The more we apply this to our walk in Romans 13 of obeying the laws of man, it'll just make things that much easier. The kingdom of God is merely the sphere of God's rule. And this kingdom, since it has been at the beginning of time, has been at war. This is a war that's not seen. It is a war of principalities and powers. It is a war within ourselves, brothers and sisters. It is a war within our hearts. And we have the choice to make the kingdom of God, and we have the choice to put it in ourselves. As Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 17 says, of letting Christ dwell within ourselves. Let Christ dwell within your heart. War is within our heart, therefore let the King of the kingdom dwell within your heart. This kingdom that we live under, that we live in, if we allow Jesus into our heart, he's perfect. He's sinless. What better king could you ask for? What better ruler could a kingdom have than one who has lived a perfect life, who has lived a life of love, of sacrifice, of devotion to his friends and followers? What better conqueror to have than one who has conquered sin and death? And offer the invitation at this time, if you wish to become a citizen of the greatest kingdom that will never ever fall, it will never fall, it will never fail you. If you wish to become a part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God, and let Christ dwell within your heart, and come forward as we stand and sing the hymn.